Welcome to the Redacted Apostate, a podcast about cults, indoctrination, and how to escape cults. My name is Nicole, and with me is Carl today.
Hi, everybody.
And today we're going to talk about indoctrination and how to undo the indoctrination. And it's more than cults. It's kind of the ideological society that we live in and how to think for yourself, really. I mean, indoctrination can come from more than religious fanaticism. It can come from politics. It can come from
people that run gymnastic organizations.
Exactly. Self-help is the latest craze now. Self-help gurus that are actually cult leaders. It can come from an overly toxic parent that indoctrinates you.
Yeah, yeah. So I do have a question about that. So you say that self-help is kind of the cult du jour right now, but is that really true, or is that just the name that we're applying to the set of principles and philosophies that have kind of occurred throughout cults, I would say, for the past 50 or 60 years?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I mean, the online cults are rising, and it's coming out of the self-help type industry. So people that really are not religious, and so they don't look to, I think in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you saw a lot of cults around Jesus and end of the world and apocalyptic, and those are definitely still out there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people realize those are cults. Like, there's been so much information, they know that they're cults, but they want to be better. They want to become better, and so they seek out online resources to become better.
Right.
And then they get involved in a group that is highly cultic.
Yeah, because the two that I'm thinking of are Batshit Country.
But they were not self-help. They were...
But I thought they started off with helping people that were drug users and...
No, that was the Synanon. Okay. So two different groups.
Gotcha. Well, I did know they were two different groups.
Yeah. So the Batshit Country. I don't even know the name of it now.
It doesn't matter. It is forever in my mind as Batshit Country.
Yeah. So. I know. I love it. No, they were around kind of Hindu mysticism. Mm.
They're really part of that whole
guru.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The guru cult that arrived around the 60s.
Right. And so that's Jesus, guru. I kind of put them all in the same type of savior.
Oh, like, that's interesting. Yeah.
Like, there is a savior.
A holy man, mm-hmm, that knows more and speaks for God or is God or...
And has all the answers. Right. That's really the key. Like,
right,
here is this guru, here is this Jesus, or here is this religion. We have all the answers. And we have seen so much information lately about... And I think Jim Jones kind of went a long way for that.
Yeah.
Now, one that did actually start out, I think, as a help is the Heaven's Gate. Well, maybe not.
Well, Nexium was definitely one of them.
Nexium is definitely
self-help.
Self-help, yeah.
They seem like one of the first of that kind of the real big push into the, we are going to make you a better person, not spiritually, but just a better person.
Right.
Because then they start like with, you know, corporate gigs, mm-hmm, like, you know, you can be a better corporate speaker,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, then drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, exactly. And so theirs is like, this man has all the answers, but that's, mm-hmm, the key. That's the common thread among all of these groups is that, or your mother has all the answers. Like,
oh, yeah,
if you're in a highly indoctrinated family, mm-hmm, and your mom is the one with all the answers and she doesn't allow you to think for yourself or your, right, father, whoever it is. So
are you describing our family?
You are not allowed to think for yourself.
Well,
you must.
Done. Doing it right, okay, now.
Do you want me to tell you what to think right now? What to say?
I would love that, actually. It's not being an occult. That's just me being an idiot.
So I want to preface all this as saying that I was in a cult until I was 25. Mm-hmm. And when I was 25, I escaped literally with the clothes on my back. And
barely that.
Yeah, barely that. Lived in one of those hotels. I wasn't ever living on the streets. I was living in one of those weekly hotels. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, I actually had a job as a customer service technician, you know, doing customer tech support. So I had a job.
And that was for the ISP, right, at the time?
Well, that was the first one. I was still in the cult when I had that one.
Right.
And I worked for Prodigy.
Yes, remember. I was
just, yeah.
And try not to use names because, you know, that company's still around and could sue right. at any moment.
I love it when I find my Prodigy Frisbees. It's like, oh, remember this? So I had a job. Mm-hmm. So I had money coming in. Not a lot, but money.
Enough. Yeah.
And so I was able to get a weekly hotel, but I lost everything, literally everything in that literally over a 48-hour period, I lost everything. So I'm coming at this from my experience, looking at how I got over my own indoctrination, which really took decades. And even today,
it still exists today.
Yeah, exactly. Even today, I have to step back and say, is this how I'm really feeling, or is it something that was indoctrinated in me to feel? And it's a constant struggle. But I think once you recognize that type of indoctrination in yourself, then you can overcome it.
That's interesting, too, because it's not so much that there's this, just going to use programming for, you know, lack of a better word, but that there's this programming that you kind of that you went through just existing, right? It might have even been systematic. It was just part of the culture around you of this, you know, kind of familiar programming, you know, family programming, you know, that you went through. But it's like when you're out, you can never understand if that is the programming or the family way or the, you know, religion or culture or cult way, or is it my own thoughts? Mm-hmm. So it is interesting because I think a lot of people go through that to lesser degrees. So I think a lot of when you get into this, you know, existential kind of understanding of yourself, right? Even, you know, me who was never in a cult, you know, I mean, Southern Baptist is highly controlling religion as well.
Well, that's the IBLP, but your family didn't take it to that extreme.
You would think so, right? But I think they did to parts, right? And that's what I mean is like, it's this, we're talking about degrees. We're not talking about, you know, oh yeah, I was in a cult, but it was definitely very cult-ish, you know, the speaking of tongues, the, you know, the whole nine yards, you know, for the religious path of my dad, he was always searching for answers, you know. But, you know, coming back to it, I still wonder, like, I still, like, you know, go, oh, should I be doing this? Because if I do, I might go to hell. It's like, well, where did that come from? You don't believe in hell, like to my core, you know me, I don't believe at all, but yet that thought comes up.
Yeah. And so when those, and that's what I've learned in this whole process is when those thoughts come up, acknowledge them and then let your rational mind take over. And that's really kind of another interesting thought about indoctrination, because a lot of times people will say, oh, this just felt right, or go with your intuition. Well, when you're raised in a cult,
your intuition tells you the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's not the right thing to do.
Right.
Unless you have developed logic-based intuition, and that takes years to do. I mean, it really is a lot of work. And saying, oh, I just let my intuition, or, you know, if something feels
follow right, your gut.
Follow your gut is really not the best advice.
My gut tells me that I should have 6 wives and drink Diet Coke. So, you know.
There you go. Yeah.
My gut's not really telling me the things that I need to be hearing right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so you have to honor those thoughts and then step back and say, okay, logic it, think about it. And also look at the opposing side.
Well, I think that's good for anybody, mm-hmm. whether they're in a cult or a normal relationship, you know, and I got a drink in my hand, so I can't do the air quotes for normal. but, you know, with anything in your life is, you know, yeah, there is a point that's like, trust your gut. I think it's not trust your gut, but listen to your gut. And with anything else that you listen to is, why is my gut telling me this? You know, unless you're walking down a dark alleyway and something's telling you you need to leave. Yeah, just go with that. Just get the freak out.
Be safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes to like, and this is where people jump from cult to cult to cult because it's what's familiar. They're in one cult and then they find another group of people and it's a familiar feeling. And so they join that other cult. And I have seen it online where people, so I'll give you a really funny example that happened a couple of years ago. And I love YouTube drama. It's hysterical. So this YouTuber who did anti-cult YouTube videos, mm-hmm. he was going to Thailand for the reasons why you would go to Thailand. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you can and can't say on podcasts.
Well, he's drinking, have a good time. We know what it means.
Yeah. So it came out that he was doing this and he has a wife with 2 kids.
Oh, that guy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he went on a live stream and was crying about how he goes to Thailand and how someone was trying to ruin him for his own actions by calling him out. That he goes to Thailand.
But he was part of the leadership, right? I mean, he wasn't. No.
He's just a YouTuber.
That's right, yeah.
He's just a YouTuber
that was exposing the
cult.
But he left. He was a former member.
He's an anti-cult activist is what he was.
Yes. Okay. But wasn't he also a, like, he was part of their leadership, right?
No.
I thought he was.
No, he's not part of any, yeah.
Okay.
So at the time, it's like, well, and he's like, well, in this cult, I was sexually repressed and now I'm out and now I'm like allowing, but he stayed married and whatever they have within their marriage.
Whatever. But he was also taking people's money.
Yeah, exactly.
And part of it was our money.
Yeah. So I was giving him mm-hmm. a monthly stipend, part of the Patreon, because of the work that he was doing. I'm not interested in that. I never watched that content.
Right.
Except for when it came up on the live stream and it said, I went to Thailand and I was like, what's that? I'm going to watch that. And I saw it in real time. A lot of people didn't see this mm-hmm. in real time. And then he had it scrubbed. And then he like started going after people that reposted this.
Right.
And his group of followers fought for him to the end, never acknowledged what he was doing.
Because they're just the same ideology that they've had mm-hmm. from the beginning.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's has this good cause. We love him. And they would attack other people that would call him out. And that's, again, it's, and people would say, you left one cult and now you're in this other cult of this YouTuber.
The cult of personality.
Exactly. That's what he was. He was the cult of personality.
Yep.
And he was a shady, gross guy.
Yep.
And
instead of acknowledging, right? So, like, I always wonder, like, people that get caught, you know, like, you know, when he was going to visit people
in Thailand,
you know, on a business, you know, not personally, but for business.
No, it wasn't on business. It was
He was purchasing a product while he was there.
Right.
He went there for business purposes.
Yep.
Yes. That Thailand is known to not export, but to get you know, in Thailand. And instead of just going, yeah, I do that because that's what I like.
take it or leave it.
Yep.
It became this huge thing.
Right, because he kept denying it.
Yeah.
And then fought it. And then...
Even though he went on a live stream and, like, confessed, it was hysterical. I stopped giving him... He lost about half of his Patreon supporters.
But he kept the other
half. Kept half of them.
Right.
And the other half vehemently supported him and argued with other people and never was able to look at the alternate side as to why someone right. wouldn't be interested in supporting him or listening to him or anything like that. And that's ideology. That's indoctrination.
Yep.
That's exactly it. It's you need to be able, indoctrination is where you are not able to look at the other side and go, they have a point. Or
to look at your side and go, they have done wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But there's, you know, and I also want to really, you know, add that it's okay for your side to have done wrong, to acknowledge it, and then to move on. I'm not talking about forgiveness of whatever it is. And then oftentimes there's no forgiveness to give or, to like.
These are artificially imposed rules. Like,
exactly. Nobody... What he did was someone else's idea of what morality is, mm-hmm. right? That's not what I have a problem with. Like, if you would have told me, hey, this guy's going here and he's doing this, I'd have been like, okay.
Gross.
Yeah, but okay. Sure.
Yeah.
You know? Does his wife know? Is she okay with it? If so, then okay.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the end of the conversation for me. I don't care. Like, I don't care about this person enough to worry about, like, what he's doing and not doing.
Yeah, but I don't want him using my Patreon money to go to Thailand. Like, me personally, I don't want to support
that. But I understand that, too. But that's the point. That's also the problem with public eye and, you know, any of these cult personality things, is mm-hmm. that you have to accept that you're giving money to someone who might do something that you object to.
Right, right.
And that is part of that objective process where it's not the same thinking that instantly vilifies a person because of what they've done also is the flip side of I will acknowledge and forgive anything that they do because of who they are.
Right. Because they do so much good work against this particular right. cult.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Yep. And the flip side. They both are.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. I don't know. But I see them being, it's the same side of the coin, just whichever one it landed on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be angry or should I be total forgiveness? And whenever someone is that polarizing, that means that there was an issue to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Because
all I can think of is Elon Musk right now.
Yeah, people like worship him as a cult.
And then there are people that cannot stand anything he does is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's very few. Well, I guess they're the ones that aren't heard, you know, but I don't see a lot of people that just go, I don't really care. Well, I know you don't, but you don't follow him either.
Yeah.
You don't hear what he says. You just see that he has a car company, you know. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you start listening to him, he is instantly polarizing.
Hmm.
So you're either like gung-ho about him or you're like,
you hate
him. He's an idiot and I hate him.
Yeah.
And I fight with that because I hear his name and I just want to punch him in the face, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, when it comes to indoctrination, again, it's not jumping from one thing to the next thing, really mm-hmm. stepping back and saying, when you have those thoughts, oh, I'm going to hell.
Right.
What does that really mean?
Yeah.
And is that true?
Right.
Maybe it is true. Maybe you are going to hell. Maybe in this moment you really are. Things are going to hell.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about the biblical hell, then sure.
It's
I'm going there. Yeah. I mean, multiple times over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the lack of belief. You just want to start right off the beginning. That is tier one, step one, process one. Yes.
So you do something, and you're like, oh, I'm going to hell. But you were already going to hell like
when a million when you were times 13. Over. Yeah, so who cares?
Yeah. So what does that matter?
Right.
You're like, yeah, that's where I'm headed. Yeah. Another thing that I always do that I did too was what I, in my own brain, I called little tests.
Mm.
Little tests. Not, so I was excommunicated, mm-hmm. Shunned when I left, and, but I still believed. Mm-hmm. So I was physically excommunicated because I got to the point where I was like, I can't live like this anymore.
Right.
I can't do this anymore. And so I was excommunicated and shunned. And then I still believed because you just can't shut that. You can't shut it off immediately.
Right.
So then I started to unbelieve. Or examine, I don't know what the right word is, examine, I think, those beliefs. And all these rules, these arbitrary rules, I was told I had to do this or that. Those were the little tests came in.
That makes sense.
So I would do little tests like I would say the F word.
Ooh.
And then I would wait for God to smite me.
Yeah.
Or I would...
God hasn't smitten people in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. But I was told that all these things would happen as soon as I left. And, or I would, what are some of the other things I did? I bought a two-door car, which was illegal in my cult. You know, just the little things, just the little things. Because those little things actually add up to when you have to make a big decision about your indoctrination, the big decisions like, am I going to give my child this particular medical procedure that you were told was evil and from Satan and you, God would smite you and you would die. And that's a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing those little...
For someone that's coming out of the cult, that is, yeah.
It's too hard. So a funny story, when I was dating, before you, I was dating... Mm-hmm. This guy.
You didn't date anybody before me.
No, I know. There was nobody before you. And we're dating.
I just don't know who the guy after me is going to be. So. Yeah,
so I'm going to date after you. So I was dating this guy and we drove by one of those Jesus saves. And he asked me the question. He said, have you ever donated blood? And my response to him, and I'd only been out maybe like 2 or 3 months at this point. And my response to him was, I haven't dealt with that issue. And he lost it, got so angry at me that I would threaten our future children's lives by not giving them a blood transfusion. And I just was not mentally prepared.
No, you weren't there yet.
To deal with that kind of a question. Because again, that was so massive. Breaking that rule was one of the worst rules I could have ever broken. And so that's a huge test.
Right.
So you have to do these little indoctrination tests. And it could be anything from dating someone, going on one coffee date with somebody who's not of the same religion.
Or the clothes you wear.
Yeah. Yeah. The clothes you wear.
Because I know clothes was a big deal as well for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever bizarro small rules that would get you censored, but not shunned.
Right. Brought up before the elders.
Right.
Yeah.
So those little tests, those were the things that I started to work on my indoctrination. And then when you do like a series of those small ones, then when you get the big ones, and the big ones are going to happen in your life, and there's some big ones and they hurt, then you can make those big things. And you're always going to have the thought like, oh my God, my daughter almost died. And so we had to give her a blood transfusion. And the first thing in your thought is God's going to condemn me and God's going to smite me.
Right.
And then you go back to all of your experience from the little tests. Did God smite me when I said the F word? Did God smite me when I went out with this dude for coffee? The answer is no.
Yeah.
Because the answer is no. You were in a cult.
Right.
So giving your daughter this medical procedure or getting a vaccine or whatever crazy thing you were told that's such a big deal, it becomes much easier,
right?
Because you've done all those little things.
That makes sense.
So that's how I work through my indoctrination.
Do you think that, because I know that there's a large correlation between people that leave controlling religions and like drug use and being promiscuous as well. Do you think that those are a way for either people to regain control, or to, are those like kind of the bigger tests that people are doing? Or do you think it's just kind of like, I'm kind of fucked up and this is the only way I can deal with things?
I think it's all of them. I think every individual, some of it could be, I'm already going to die, so I might as well enjoy myself.
Mm.
So they are physically out of the religion, but they are still mentally inside of their religion.
So they think, I'm already going to hell, so who cares if I'm doing drugs and sleeping around? Okay.
Or there's this sense of there's a sense of loss and grief that they're working through.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were raised in a similar, and I know that IBLP is very similar to this, and the religion I was raised in is very similar, you cannot have sex until you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so that creates these whole issues around sex, like right. a lot of issues around sex. It's not this happy, fun thing. And you lose that part of your sexual exploration that everyone should be allowed to have.
Right.
You know, when you're in your late teens or early 20s.
You have no idea who you are or what you like or
exactly.
anything.
Yeah. So you end up married to somebody and
you're miserable.
Yeah. A lot of times you're miserable. So then when you leave, it's like, I need to make up for that lost time.
Right.
And so there's a lot of sexual, and I wouldn't use the word promiscuity, but I would say exploration.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an incorrect word for what I was thinking.
Yeah. I would say exploration because they're making up for lost time.
Yeah.
And it's challenging, like the guy, the YouTuber who's married with two kids, you know, I mean, it's challenging because if you're married in that person and you're committed to that person, but then you completely missed out on that time in your life, that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a couple have to work through that.
Yeah.
Or you both are feeling that. I was lucky because I left, I was shunned, I was single, so I could fuck whoever I wanted
to.
Exactly. And I did, you know, and so I had that sexual exploration
period. But imagine if you were like in your 30s or 40s.
It's a little weird,
yeah,
but not unexpected.
Yeah.
So that's different than drug use. So drug use is that sense of escaping,
mm-hmm.
which can lead to self-harm.
Yeah.
I've seen people who leave cults who become heavy drug users, mm-hmm. really just out of a sense of they've lost everything and addiction is just...
Well, I remember watching that documentary on all the kids that escaped the Mormon group, and how like every single one of them was
a meth addict.
Meth addict,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like crazy
meth and fentanyl. Yeah,
yeah. And it's like, you know, and I get it too. Like some of those regions too, like, you know, probably the population is higher propensity of using meth than other areas because they're, you know, lower income, don't have support or whatever, but it was like 100% almost of these kids that are coming through.
And so that's challenging too, because they escape that one cult and they go live with their 59 million other brothers and sisters, you know, and they've found meth. And so they introduce it to the kid. That's
right.
So it's kind of this perpetual cycle.
Yeah.
So they're escaping to their families who are drug users.
Right.
So they're kind of, they're going from one really bad situation to some difficulty after that.
And then, you know, that's probably looked at within the cult as being, look, see, right there, everybody that leaves does math.
You become a self-fulfilling prophecy, right. Which is an interesting, which should be another topic for another podcast, because I got a whole thought about that mm-hmm. because that's what happens. They tell you that because this is how life works. So basically, they're telling you, if you leave me, this is going to happen. And then that thing happens. And in your mind, you say,
well, there you go.
They were right.
Yeah.
But without that logic of really understanding that that's indoctrination, that's control, that's yes. high control, that you, when they say this is, because that's what happens to everybody.
Right.
This is life. Life is hard.
Yeah.
Life throws stuff at you that you never could imagine. And when you leave that cocoon of that supported group, you're going to face those.
Artificially supported group.
You are going to face this type of thing.
Right.
And cult leaders know that.
Yeah.
And that's how they get that circle to get them to come back. And that's, I think that's how the Amish do it. They give them their Rumspringa. Like when you go to Rumspringa. This is what's going to happen to you. And then that's what happens to them. And they're like, oh, I need to go back.
Yeah.
And it happens to a lot of groups. Yep. Or people, what's really hard in the cult that I grew up in is they preached and said that gay people were going to be killed by God.
Yeah.
And so if you were gay in that, you had no hope.
No.
In fact, recently one of their leaders got on stage and said, people who, when God brings everyone back to life in the magical paradise, gay people are going to freak out because God's going to bring back gay people to life. And what, I mean, it was pretty horrific. So what that meant mm-hmm. was that there was this ideological thing that if you were gay, that God would fix that in that magical paradise. And what that man said when he got up on stage was that, no, God would kill you. So it didn't matter what you did.
Yeah.
You were going to get killed by God if you were gay.
Nice. Seems like a nice guy.
Horrible. Like just horrible. And there were incidents because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're in this organization and you're holding your shit together and you're not acting out and you're following the rules.
Someone says, God's going to kill you.
And God's not going to cure you of your mental illness.
Right.
And it's like, then what's the point?
Right.
Like I'm living towards this end of life paradise goal. If God's not going to fix it, then what's the point?
Why am I here?
Damn. So one of two things happened. Either they committed suicide or it made them wake up and leave because it was like, wait a minute, this is a huge change in belief system that directly affected them.
But yeah.
And that's another little test, right?
Yeah.
Actually that's more of a big test, but if you leave and I have sex with a woman
mm-hmm.
and you wake up the next morning and I'm like, God didn't kill me. I'm still here.
Are you thinking about this? No, but it is. I mean, it's right. Cause like I always kind of view the idea of God as like Santa Claus, right? He knows everything about you. He knows everything you're doing. So it doesn't even matter how you live. It's how you think. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the issue with it is that, you could do everything right on the outside, but if you still have those thoughts on the inside, you're still mm-hmm. going to go to hell.
Yep.
And you're still going to be murdered by Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I'm just imagining with, you know.
Jesus with his cum gutters.
And Uzis. because that's how I envision my Jesus.
Yep.
But it's fascinating because I always look at these cults that are kind of coming from the Mormon sects that are, you know,
kill each other.
Yeah. Well, it's only because there's only other Mormons around them.
Yeah. There's,
you know, I mean, like if they lived elsewhere, they'd probably kill other people. Yeah. But, you know, it's this idea that you have these religions. So let's talk like religion is religion and not a cult, right? But you've got these religions that are highly susceptible to these cults, because of the teachings that are inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yep, all the words are there, all of everything's lined up, and all it takes is for someone to just twist a sentence.
And Mormonism is a classic example of that. The cult I was raised in, the leadership controlled so that would never happen. Right. What happens in Mormonism? Mormonism is so interesting because anyone can call themselves a prophet.
Right.
And that's part of their dogma. So they can call themselves a prophet, and that's why we end up with dead children and, mm-hmm, you know, and it's so funny because I watched that cult programming where this like Daughters of the Cult or something where, mm-hmm, Bryan Cranston plays the cult leader on the Lifetime channel. And that that cult was killing babies.
Yeah.
They were killing small children. And so the fact that now we see the other cult that killed the two children, mm-hmm, you know, this is nothing new. This happened in the 70s and 80s. This is nothing new.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, if someone says, hey, I am a prophet, that's what Joseph Smith said.
And you are told to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And if your dad says, I'm the prophet, and you need to go marry this guy when you're 13, you got to do it.
All right. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call myself a prophet. It's easy. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Damn it.
Other than that, I don't know how to break free from indoctrination, other than really just examining your own thoughts. And I think having a therapist and really going to the communities, the forums, and talking about how you're feeling and looking at other sides,
right,
I think that's another way to kind of get rid of the indoctrination. But
I think also it's important too to understand what the indoctrination looks like. Like, how does it work on you? It's like understanding brainwashing to get rid of brainwashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know? So that's another good point. Read books about brainwashing
and indoctrination, and
read books about other cults, not the ones that you were raised in.
Because I think the big thing is it's not only leaving the indoctrination, right, or thinking your way out of it. It's also being able to see it. Right. Because if you just deprogram yourself and then everything's fine, it's like, no, you need to realize when another group might be doing it, or, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm stopped doing heroin, but I found this great drug called cocaine. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You gotta, you know,
or like people who leave a cult and then they become QAnon people.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, it's like, okay, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And when it comes to QAnon is easy to look at your indoctrination and say, is this factual? And really go to other factuals. And there's this one YouTuber that talked about it this way, and I thought it was really interesting. You listen to Fox News and you listen to CNN,
right,
they're both on the opposing sides, and you think of it as like a Venn diagram, and where the information overlaps, that's the truth.
Or more the truth.
Yeah, that's
they both usually could be reporting on the same stupid thing.
But that's usually what you can rely on. And then you do another source. Like,
right.
And if you did CNN, Fox News, and Al Jazeera, right, and you looked at what you're looking at, and you look for what's the commonality between all of them, that's more than likely the truth.
Right.
So identifying what the truth is will help you figure out whether you're indoctrinated or not.
Yep.
Another thing he said too is, and you were a Boy Scout. What was the term? What's the Boy Scout term? When you're orienting yourself, you find a place. There's a term for it.
Not mountaineering, it's,
geez, I can't think, it's too late.
Yeah, I've had a drink and it's late. I thought it was just orienteering.
Mm-mm, no.
Well, what in regards to what, like,
so the way that they tell you, and this is the way he described it, mm-hmm, in with the Boy Scouts, is that you orient yourself with a known location,
right,
like a mountain or a building, right, or something like that. And then from that, you can navigate your way around wherever you're trying to go.
Yeah, it's orienteering is what it is, but I'm sure there's another term within that.
Yeah, there's the term for that specific action.
Right.
Probably if anyone ever listens to this, they'll be like, it's that. I don't know what it is. I can't remember.
You know.
Anyway.
Have fun with that.
Put it in the comments. So what he said is use that philosophy when you're trying to think for yourself. And I when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's good for indoctrination also. Because if you can focus on something that is true, then that will help you release you from the indoctrination. What is it? What is that true thing? And that true thing might be your value or what's important to you or whatever that true thing is. And then you orient information based on that.
Right.
And again, that's going by logic and not, oh, this feels right. This is what feels right. And I think this is what feels right leads to drug use, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like creating, is idiom the right term? Like for yourself, like you create a certain set of
values or your own roadmap, your own for yourself. And
but again, you go right back into the, okay, I'm going to create these for myself. Here's my first one, which is that if I have a gay thought, I'm going to help. Whoa, you know? It's
so that could be your big mountain, right? So you take that example. That's your big mountain.
True, but it's true for you right at that moment,
right? So
and then you can.
So your big mountain or your big landmark that you're orienting your mind around is, I am gay. I am okay,
right?
And God is not going to kill me because I'm gay,
right?
That's a huge one. Or I'm going to give my child this medical procedure. Right. That's a huge one.
Right.
Okay. So
I'm going to vote Democrat.
Huge one. Right. Yeah. So that's your landmark.
Right.
That you can orient yourself against.
So, okay. I got you. So it doesn't even have to be something that is outside of the indoctrination. It is a piece of datum that you can deride falsehoods and positives away from depending on your tests.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So like that mountain might not be the direction you need to go, but it's there, whether you're getting further from it or closer to it.
Right.
So if you think you're going the right way, you look up and you're getting closer back to the mountain and you're trying to go away from it, you at least have that as a landmark for your distances and
So you think of that as your mental landmark.
That makes a lot of sense.
Your mental. So that's another way to kind of work through your indoctrination. Mm-hmm. So where I did it were little tests. Someone could do it the opposite. They could do that big landmark. Okay, so if I'm gay and I'm okay and God's not going to kill me, this huge thing, then God's not going to kill me if I go into a church. Or God's not going to kill me if I wear...
If I wear
short shorts or... Mm-hmm. If I, you know, those little things that pop up in your head. And when those thoughts pop up in your head and you orient yourself.
Okay, there's my mountain.
There's my mountain.
Still there.
Okay, there's the thought. Okay, there's my mountain. That's a ridiculous thought. Move it away.
Right.
So it's all about, like you said, unbrainwashing yourself and figuring out your own sense of identity, your own sense of mapping and what's important to you.
So do you think it would be easier to start off with a little hill or a big mountain?
I think everyone's different. So I like this conversation because the way that I did it may not work for someone else, but either one is fine because either one will work.
You were in a ditch, so there wasn't even a mountain, right? So the first thing you had to do was, where the hell is the handhold so I can get out of the ditch?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's like, oh, now I see a little pebble, there's my marker, and I can go from there
and I can build my mountain slowly. And because I wasn't really dealing with huge senses of self, like I wasn't gay, I just didn't want to live by those rules anymore. So it was a little
I didn't want to marry a pedophile.
Yeah
That's kind of,
which is kind of a big
hill. That's a big mountain.
Yeah. It's like, I'm gonna leave because I don't want to marry a pedophile.
Hillary looked at that thing and went, fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought my mind first went to Hillary Clinton, and I was like, "Was she what? No, oh, you're talking about Hillary's stuff. Look at you.
I'm smart.
You're smart.
Did I do good? Did I do right?
Yeah. Remember, no thinking. You must. Wait,
I'm just writing. I'm just reading what you wrote down for me. I don't even know who Hillary is.
I was thinking Hillary Clinton. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I don't know what else there is to talk about. I'm sure there's a lot of...
We could talk about this for
a long time.
Yeah.
But we are not therapists. We're not telling anyone what to do.
No. 100% not a therapist.
We are just...
Those guys are crazy.
No. Oh my God, no. I've had therapy over the years that's like really helped me. And I went and saw a cult therapist.
I remember.
Yeah, specifically. And that guy helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Helped me work through indoctrination.
Yeah. I remember meeting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember giving them shit.
And that was almost 5 years after I was out mm-hmm. that I actually went to a cult therapist that yeah. specialized in high control. And because I knew I needed that kind of help.
Do you think that would be something vital for someone to, it might not be a therapist, but a person that is knowledgeable in high control groups and cults to talk to them earlier, sooner than later?
I don't know.
And again, it's everybody's path is different.
Yeah. And the problem is it's finances. I mean, we live in a country where mental health support is not easily accessible yeah. as we experienced with our daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really challenging to get
and for us
mental too. Health
I mean,
experience.
To get someone for us is not easy as well.
It's really hard and it's expensive.
And it's expensive.
I mean, it was so expensive when I did that,
mm-hmm.
but I knew I had to do it. Yeah. I had to do something. And I remember paying out of pocket for that guy because I didn't have that kind of insurance.
Yep.
And so, and a lot of this stuff, like, I didn't know. I didn't have basic information about how insurance works. And this was before YouTube, where you could kind of learn about stuff.
I was just saying that YouTube has really been positive with these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You also get a lot of misinformation, too.
Yeah, so but at least it's some information. And if you're watching multiple, again, this is back to
overlap
the Venn diagram.
Your information, right?
Yeah. Right. You watch, if you just leave a cult and you don't know anything, like I didn't know anything. In fact, people told me that you had to lick a Christmas tree to know whether it was ripe or not. And I was like, okay, well, where do you lick the Christmas tree? Like, why do you? Oh, it's like, oh, that's how. And I'm like, what's it supposed to taste like? I was asking all these questions. And they're like, we're just joking with you. I'm like, oh.
Well, you can't do that.
You should not. Like, I was like, and people used to mess with me all the time because they knew I had no idea about anything. I was like a blank slate and people would mess with me all the time.
Wow.
It was pretty funny. It was really funny.
God, I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, it was a funny people would say the weirdest stuff to me. And then that'd be
but
like
what's so bad is then you hear someone say something weird to you, like you're supposed to do this and they're like and you're like, aha, very funny. No, yeah. I'm actually quite serious that yeah. you really yeah. need to do this.
I mean, people are messing with me left and right. It was so crazy. But I had no experience with insurance. Mm-hmm. I had no experience with basic living skills, all that kind of stuff. And yeah. now if you're, and I had to.
It's like leaving prison, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nothing. Like mm-hmm. nothing. And now people who leave have a little bit more access to resources yeah. than I did. And so they can look up how to do things, how to file insurance, how to work with insurance. And again, it's back to that Venn diagram. Think about. You watch this YouTube video, you watch this YouTube video, you watch this YouTube video.
Are they all saying the same thing?
Yeah. Are they all saying the same thing? And if they are in that center, then that's more than likely the truth. And then you right. can take that and do more research on that specific thing. Right. If they say all this weird stuff and this person says all this weird stuff, and none of them overlap, you're like, okay, neither one.
Moving on. Let's find the next video.
Accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not like and subscribe.
Yeah. But I think that's it for today.
Cool.
I think it was a good conversation.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, and thank you for listening. And
like and subscribe this.
Like and subscribe and have a fabulous day and know that you are valuable no matter where you are on your journey, whether you're just starting out or you're 50 years in like I am, in any point in your life, you are valuable. and you're still gonna have issues.
Even if you weren't in the cult.
Yeah. That's it.